Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody. All right, governors. Wait.
Apples and peas.
We're cookies. Ross?
How are we doing?
Okay. yes, everybody. It's time nearly for AEW All In Wembley Stadium. Yeah. The biggest
wrestling show ever. Until WrestleMania 40, so they say.
Right.
Mm. I've seen they've been peddling the stats.
Oh, 90,000?
92,000 on Raw this week, yeah.
Well.
Damn.
It's just going to become like a viewership race or an attendance race, isn't it? I can't believe it. But right now we're focusing on London because it's nearly time for All In. And what better way to celebrate than to come up with 9 wonderful pitches. Joined by you, Ross, and you, Andrew.
Hi.
Before we get into this, Ross, I'm so excited because it just seems like Andrew's...
Oh, God, I.
It really seems like he's written something special.
We need to put a disclaimer in. Can you just repeat the message you said yesterday?
I was like, boys, I'm having a bit of a crisis, a dilemma here. I've written a 2-page pitch, and I'm wondering if I should break it into 2 separate ones because I might be taking the Waz a little bit.
Now, normally your pitches are anywhere from 3/4 of a page of A4 to 1.5 pages of A4. So this is unprecedented what we're seeing here today.
It's long.
I think it's no coincidence that it features one of your favorite wrestlers in the world.
You sure do.
And I think also MJF is a great heel. You like MJF. This is going to be like a fan fiction.
This is like, you know when we do the WWE ones and it's like, ooh, what can we conjure up for the Bloodline next? This is what it feels like for this one.
So are they going to be your first and second pitches?
Yes.
We'll look forward to them. Before that, we'll have Ross. We'll go around in a circle. Ross, then Andrew, then myself. I caught some flack in the comments recently because it's more of like a triangle.
It's a semicircle.
It's a Satsuma segment.
I guess so. We'll go around 3 times. We'll end up with 9 lovely pitches. But remember the golden rule. It's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen. Raven, Mike, you.
Knob cheese. Oh, we're driving our taxis in London.
Yes, we are.
You lay. How did they do it?
I don't know. It's so, like, you're all hunched over it, dude. It's like,
they
just need to relax, don't they?
Oh, I've relaxed.
God, horrible city anyway.
Whoa!
It is a horrible city.
Whoa!
Are you fun?
What? No, I'm trying to be. I'm trying to stay.
Where did we stay for Money in the Bank, Joel? What was that area called? Canary Wharf. That was delightful.
Oh yeah, but
if all of London was like that, I'd be like, yes,
but
I'm
on
board.
The big criticism of Canary Wharf is that it's like that, whereas the rest of London isn't.
Exactly.
And it's concentration of wealth in one. Ross, your first AEW All In wrestling pitch, please.
Up the London. We're shooting this video obviously before Dynamite tonight, so I'm worried this might not happen because of something that is planned to happen on Dynamite tonight. So we see a shot of CM Punk and his entourage, including wholesome dog man Ace Steel, walking through the backstage area as they arrive for work on Sunday evening. This is followed up by a shot of Samoa Joe doing the same thing, but he is all alone inside this pit of danger. Mm-hmm. However, after a few seconds of watching Joe walking, we see a pair of car headlights turn on in the background of shot, and a vehicle starts to approach the Samoa submission machine from behind. The car is inching closer and closer as we learn it's a Toyota Toyota Prius. And the driver, who of course is wearing a balaclava to hide his identity, is sticking to a speed of under 5 miles an hour, capitalizing on the silence the Prius travels at if you manage to keep it under 5 miles an hour. Samoa Joe is run over very slowly, so he isn't killed, but he is trapped under a wheel or two of the Prius.
5 miles an hour.
Very slowly.
That's slightly quicker than human walking pace.
It's a heavy car.
Okay.
It's got a big battery unit in the front. I reckon Samoa Joe would fall down.
After he feels the initial contact, he just...
It's too late. It's
yeah,
too
okay, late. Fair enough. Yeah. Just like
that. I can't feel my legs, he screams, as the driver gets out and runs away. Smash cut to the announcer's desk as we see Tony Schiavone shout, "We have a developing situation in the backstage area, Taz!" Taz is over there like, "Ooh, Scoops Jones over here, but I digress, let's go." The assailant, who ran over Samoa Joe, is now in the locker room of CM Punk and is just sort of sat there in the corner in silence while the straight edge superstar shouts at him. And Ace Steele, who is wearing a collar and is chained to the wall, he barks aggressively. Slowly, the masked assailant removes his mask. Who could it be, everybody? Well, it's Kenneth Omega.
Wait, what?
Kenny says, "While it was impressive that you, CM Punk, in your mid-40s, he's managed to get Samoa Joe up for a kind of GTS while wearing a sparkly condom outfit on Collision last week, because Samoa Joe's a very big boy and he was sweaty at the time, I don't have any faith this match would be any good after that, so I've gotten out on, so I'm here to take Samoa Joe's place. Would you like a duel?" CM Punk says yes. The pair have a shoot fight in the car park and the world rejoices.
Oh, they have a shoot fight? Damn.
In the car park.
A shoot
park.
Fight?
What, in the car park on Wednesday or at Wembley?
At Wembley.
Oh!
What?
So, wait. If you've ever been to Wembley, the coach drives in and under the stadium to reveal the car park. So the car park's in and under. So we'll find that car park, and that's where Kenny Omega and CM Punk will put their all out in, all brawl out of 2022.
But
differences to one side.
But I'm there. I don't want to watch that on the screen.
Of course you do. I've paid my hard-earned money. Well, my earned money to be there on Sunday, and I'm going to watch a large portion of the show on a screen for the Stadium Stampede.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
the
precedent has been
set.
No,
they might come right up to you.
I might.
The action might be there.
I'll just be like, "What?
Yeah,
take that, John Moxley. Yeah. I'll shoot fight you."
Yeah, just get them locked in a space and let them just settle their differences.
Well, it's an initial no from me, because wouldn't you want that to be a wrestling match?
Mm. No, I want to be real.
What?
There's real hatred there.
CM Punk has MMA experience. It'll be a walkover.
Kenny Omega fought blow-up dolls.
Yeah.
Well, that's not me having a go, by the way. I sound like Jim Cornette there, didn't I?
I have to unfortunately give it a no, but...
Why do you not want fun?
No, it's not.
Violence.
Because I don't know if it is fun.
It is violence, though.
Could you not?
Violence is fun.
If it was on a screen, could you not merge it into the
Let's lift the car park in the middle of the ring. Is that the difference making?
I don't know. Oh, maybe, yeah, why not?
I was just thinking, you know, want the ideal setting, like, you know, that Street Jam. What was the game called back? Death Jam.
Death Jam.
Not the Street Jam.
Vendetta.
Oh, but the rappers, yeah. Yeah.
If they're doing that, then yeah.
Yeah, CM Punk giving it all out malarkey.
Yeah, yeah. And then he can set his steel on Kenny Omega.
That was my way of getting to just a shoot fight, because it's what we all want to see. None of us are sick of reading about CM Punk every single day. Get it all out there and get it over with. Draw a line in the sand.
One thing that the spot on last week's Collision with the sparkly, glittery outfit made me realise is, do you remember when he was away from wrestling and there was rumours that he was under that bodysuit at an indie show?
Yeah.
Everyone went, "That's not him. He looks too clumsy." Now I'm like,
to me, I'm saying
he's wearing the very restrictive.
Like, Samoa Joe is massive, like,
and he's a big boy. Yeah,
and so I felt a bit bad for Punk saying, "Oh, he didn't quite get that 300-pound man up for a perfect alley oop."
Yeah,
bloody hell, who does that?
Mm.
Well, Batista,
only Brock Lesnar. But yeah. But no, I was about to go, but no, it's a yes from me, but it wasn't. It was a no.
That's a shame.
Hey, sorry. If this leads into a wrestling match down the line,
is
that what we're saying?
Can we just remind ourselves, there was real hatred between
this is
these
what I'm
two.
Saying.
These were the two.
I don't think between these two.
Was the Bucks and Kenny on one side, and then Punk and his...
Yeah, but Kenny and Punk were fine.
No.
Kenny was looking after
them. They're the real instigators.
Oh, right.
If this turns into, they let all the steam blow off, right? They've done that. Oh my God, sauna, we're finished. That's gone. And then out of the sauna steam, we go into an actual wrestling match. Then yes, I'll say yes.
That's all right, then I'll take it. If it means, if it's a difference between yes and a no, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Andrew?
Yeah?
It's time for you to give us part one of your magnum opus.
Now, I want to start, say before we start,
there's
right?
a preface if to this wanna, two-part pitch.
I'm saying, right, this is like my Godfather, this, right? This is yeah. part one and part two. So
yeah,
I'm saying if you want, you can, if you want to, say yes to this first part, or you can wait until both parts
you meant,
are done.
I legitimately thought you meant you can say yes to this now before you've even heard it. It's that
no,
good.
No, I'm not.
I'll preemptively give my yes.
You can either say yes to this bit.
I reckon what we do is we give our initial half-year culty equivalent. We give our first yes or no after part one,
okay.
And then we revisit that at the end of part two and then give an ultimate yes or no.
All right, that sounds good.
Do you agree, Ross?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Okay, here we go. Everybody strap in. My goodness gracious me, it's a big one. Right. 0 hour o'clock. Better Than You, Baby versus Aussie Open for the ROH Tag Team titles. Towards the middle of the match, things start to ramp up for the challengers. The crowd are on their feet as MJF hits a kangaroo kick to Kyle Fletcher, setting him up perfectly for Cole to drop the boom. Mark Davis intervenes, however, swiftly neutralizing MJF and catching Cole as he launches himself towards Fletcher, allowing the tag champs to hit that lovely, they do like a fireman's Whee! Carry, roundhouse kick tandem maneuver so well.
Oh, I thought you meant the wee
so
one.
That
was the dog order. I
that's coming.
Oh,
that's coming
they do a wee one.
Yeah, they do a wee one as well. But, however, after this move, something's wrong. Cole comes out of the spot clutching his arm. He quickly rolls out of the ring in agony as medical staff surround him to evaluate the situation. MJF seems a bit wary of this, though. He's not stupid after all. This is the kind of trick he'd pull if he wanted to become AEW champion later in the night. He smirks at Adam, almost with pride, as if to acknowledge what his best friend is doing, and waves off his partner's pain, signaling him to get back into the action. But as Cole attempts to pull himself back into the ring, his arm gives out. He's genuinely crying out in agony at this point, and Max's expression turns to one of genuine concern for his friend.
Okay.
And then one of realization that this has essentially become a two-on-one handicap match at this point. As Cole, distraught and still trying to fight his way into the match, is ushered up the ramp and into the back by a medical, MJF tries to nope out of the situation, only to find himself the filling in between a lovely Aussie Open sandwich. MJF is left to fend for himself and does a valiant job with the crowd rallying behind him. However, it's the tag champs that gain the upper hand and toy with the AEW World Champion. After a prolonged beatdown, we get the classic spot where it's like the challenger reaching out to their corner, only for their partner not to be there. Until he is! Cole comes storming back down the ramp from the back, fighting off medical to a chorus of cheers, still clutching his arm, mind you, as he hops up onto the apron and gets the hot tag. After running wild, brother, on Aussie Open, it's time. He and Max, who has now recuperated somewhat on the apron, look towards one another and signal for the double clothesline. Cole tags Max in and the two hit the move on Kyle Fletcher, but Cole immediately starts clutching his arm again. That was a bad decision. Bloody hell fire. MJF goes to console Adam, but gets hit from behind by Davis, who tosses Cole out of the ring, lifts his partner to his feet to hit the one of them on MJF for the 1-2-3. Aussie Open pin the AEW World Champion and retain the tag titles.
They've pinned MJF.
Later in the evening, we get a backstage segment. Cole is in medical on the phone, and all we hear him say is, thanks for the update and for having my back too. I really appreciate it. I've got to go. Max is here. Talk to you later. So now, enter a worse for wear, MJF, who asks how his best friend is, but also who was just on the phone to, sort of half joking as to whether this was all a ruse to soften the AEW World Champion up for the title match. Cole shows Max that isn't the case at all. He's really sorry for what happened in the pre-show, and he just got off the phone with his specialist back home. After almost having his career torn away from him prematurely before, he wants to make triple sure that he's got all professional opinions on continuing ahead with the match this evening. Plus, why would he come back into the match anyway if his intentions were to soften up MJF in the first place? No, this is between two best friends, headlining the biggest wrestling event today. Nothing is getting in the way of that. Anyway, Cole shrugs off. We need to rest up for later this evening. Don't let me distract you. I'll see you out there, bud. May the best man win. Cole and Max hug, but as Max leaves, MJF remains in shock. Maxwell's phone begins to ring, and he answers, pauses for a moment in contemplation and visible confliction as well, before all we hear him say is, the plan's off. Call it off. Call the plan off. The plan is off. And that's part one.
What plan?
Well, we'll find out in part two.
Well, then it's a preemptive yes, because I'm waiting.
That is half a pitch.
Yeah, but it was long, though.
Oh, no.
It's long.
But I need to wait for the second half to give a yes or a no.
His font's also smaller.
Mm.
It's a wonderful cross into the box from David Beckham, but I'm waiting
for that's it.
The Alan Shearer on the end of it. You know what I mean?
It might all fall apart in the end.
It's a wonderful throw, Americans, from Thomas Brady.
Oh, he's
the owner of Birmingham City FC.
A receiving man who nearly makes it to the end zone.
Randy Moss.
I don't know anything about
Randy Moss
football.
Is one of them.
Randy from Marsh. Randy Marsh.
Moss. Randy Moss.
Randy Marsh.
Randy Marsh from South Park.
You got a friend in me.
No, that's Randy Newman. What are we doing with all these Randy
voices in my head? That's in me.
It's time for my first pitch. Okay, here we go. At the end of the first half of All In, the night, we get the big stadium stampede match with Eddie Kingston and co. against the Blackpool Combat Club and their mystery lads. I don't really care who for this pitch who wins, but Eddie Kingston survives the match anyway. He may be battered and bloodied, but he's not the one who loses the match for his team if they don't win. Or if they win, then he's looking good. Later on, CM Punk beats Mojo to retain his real world championship when he is ambushed during his celebrations by Eddie Kingston, still in his gear from the match, because it's always cool when they're still in their gear from the match. Eddie beats up CM Punk, drags him to the outside and puts him through the timekeeper's table. He heads up the ramp, stops on the stage, and then sits cross-legged with a microphone on the stage. Look at your wee face.
I like Eddie Kingston. I'm excited for this.
But then I thought, because it's Eddie Kingston, maybe that's the joke, and then he stands up like, no, none of that. Bullcrap.
None of that rubbish.
We then get a viciously honest Eddie Kingston promo where he talks about how since CM Punk's got here, everybody's had to walk on eggshells around him or risk being kicked out of the building, like Hangman Page, like Christopher Daniels, like Ryan Nemeth. He's naming people from all up and down the card. He doesn't care. He's sick of pretending like Punk's the best because he's not. Eddie's the best. He's the best in the world. There's echoes of there's similar. You see what's happening. Mm-hmm. AEW saved Eddie Kingston's career when it looked like it was coming to an end, so now he wants to pay this company back, and that's by ending the tyranny of CM Punk, who has now become the New York Yankees. He wants to face... Bit of wind there from the air. He wants to face him and take away that belt he parades around to prove to everybody that he's human, just like everybody else in the locker room. Next week on Dynamite, Eddie wants Punk's answer. Give him a match. Punk appears on the Tron, presumably somewhere very petty, like Mindy's Bakery or somewhere like that. Says, no, I beat you once already, and you don't deserve to be anywhere near my real world championship. This carries on over the next few weeks, mainly because I thought it was too soon to have the match it all out. I wanted to drag the build because they're two of the best promos in the world. Finally, they settle on a match. CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston at Full Gear, but Punk only accepts the match if they agree on one stipulation. It's title versus career.
Oh, yes.
But I think Eddie should win, though. I think Eddie should win.
Oh, butter me up. I'm ready. I'm ready.
There you go. Oh, with a Robert De Niro face.
Yes. That's what happened there.
I don't even know how to do the voice. That is tremendous.
Yeah, what was that voice?
I don't know.
You're a bit Michael Jackson there. Oh, butter me up.
None of that.
Amazing.
Wow, thank you.
Genuinely so hell. Good.
Yes. Thanks, lad. I feel like that might be the best one I've done for a while, and it's the shortest one on the whole thing.
Give me Eddie Kingston going off on CM Punk any day of the week. Any day of the week.
I've taken a bit of creative license there because I reckon at the minute Eddie Kingston probably isn't feeling too grateful towards AEW because they've kind of just shuffled him off.
Yeah.
But in kayfabe, they saved his career.
That could be it though. Maybe he's just like, look at all this that you're doing, you dafty Tony Khan and CM Punk and all this.
And then if Eddie does win the belt, then I'd have like the unification, like the match with the actual champion, whoever that is at the time.
Oh. It's the end of CM Punk at the end of it, which is the main thing.
Yep.
I would keep that. Well, no, it's title versus career. He's still there. He's just lost his belt.
I bet we'd not lose the career at the end of it, though.
What's title versus? It's Punk's title versus Eddie's
All right, so the winner.
Is it still a yes? I can change it back if it's not a yes anymore.
Well, I reckon the loser should lose their career.
Oh, my God.
Double jeopardy.
Wow.
Just end it. When Eddie does the back fist and then Punk's head flies off his neck.
I'm still a big fan of CM Punk.
I'm just saying.
I'm bored of him. Every day we wake up and it's something new. Every day. It never ends.
It keeps us on our toes. Right. Ross.
I should say, for my first pitch, I only picked Kenny Omega because the Bucks have already got a match, haven't they?
Yeah, they do.
I've just been thinking about
Kenny's in a match.
Yeah, he's in
that. Is he actually?
He's in the six man with Ibushi and Hangman.
That can be brushed aside.
There's loads of moldy men.
Not read the card before sitting here. Right, so in the middle of the tag team coffin match between Sting and Darby and AR Fox and Swerve Strickland, what I'm picturing is there being a little stage area somewhere away from the ring where the coffins are like stood up on pedestals. This isn't like SmackDown 2 Know Your Role, baby, where the coffins are just in the ring willy-nilly.
Like down.
Yeah. Do you remember them?
Yeah, back in the day?
Yeah, not like that. It looks like Darby and Sting are going to win handsomely, which they probably should do, in the name of Nick Wayne. And remember, everybody, this is what I want to happen and definitely not what I think will happen. But wouldn't it be totally awesome if when Darby went up in one of the coffins to stick one of the moguls into, he was greeted by a brooding vampire. Oh. A brooding vampire called Adam Copeland, who had been hiding in the coffin for the duration of the match because he once was a vampire once upon a time. Brooding vampire Adam Copeland would then beat up Darby Allin and help the Mogul Embassy to a smash and grab win and in the process become a bit of a bad boy. But then, wouldn't it be totally awesome again if Christian Cage, the real TNT champion and the man who Darby Allin is facing at All Out next weekend, would come out and literally piss on the coffin that contained Darby because he is a horrible man. And then wouldn't it be totally class if the House of Black appeared and were like, whoa, we're the real goths here, pals. You can't be sitting in your little coffin there as a vampire like you were back in 1998. And then Malakai Black challenges Adam Copeland and Christian Cage to a tag team match. Wouldn't that be totally awesome? I guess it might be.
Yes, I think it would.
Yeah, it would be.
The bit where he wheezes on the coffin.
It's legitimately. It's
classic Christian Cage.
Classic Christian Cage it is.
Yes. Because you know what? Not only is all that action good, but I think it sets up future other alternative matches as well down the line. It's thrown plenty of seeds there.
I've only said this because of the story from earlier this week, wasn't there? That Adam Copeland's contract is up.
Yeah. Is there no compete if it just expires?
I don't know what the credit is. If he has the same one as the, like, a younger wrestler?
He's on the bump today, isn't he?
Is he?
Or something. Yeah.
On the gear.
No.
Oh, right on the
not on the show, not on the gear, man.
He's got to stay away for that long flight. it's a yes from me.
It's a yes from me. I had a similar thought about this happening.
Really?
Yeah, I genuinely did. And that was going to be one of my pitches until I wrote a massive script.
If we can also get Gangrel involved as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, obviously.
North Wrestling original Gangrel.
He might be stuck in Weatherspoon's Liverpool with his bangers and mash and a pan of beer. That's what he likes to eat.
That was my biggest exclusive
from Straight to Hell back in the day.
I remember you telling me. I was shocked.
So was I.
I learned that on the media call recently that Tony Khan is really familiar with Norwich.
I saw this.
Really?
So
it's the Knight family. That's what it is.
I tweeted it and Aiden thought I was joking, but no, Tony Khan. He was asked a question about Soraya and the Knight family. So like, that's their neck of the woods, isn't it? And he was like, oh yeah, no, I'm aware of Norwich, Carrow Road. That's the football ground. And he said, I've met Delia Smith and Stephen Fry.
What?
Like, wow.
I'm just Googling. Who does Shane Duffy sign for Norwich this summer?
Okay.
And he was on loan at Fulham last year. That's why he knows it all.
He also, the question was like, no, you know, Norwich, which isn't too far from London. And then Tony didn't fall into that trap. He went, actually, I think I recall it's quite a drive. Like, none of this small mining town bollocks.
I've got you.
In AEW, yeah, that's right. Andrew.
Yeah.
Sorry,
part two. So the cross has been whipped in.
Ready for part two. Okay. It's not this one. Well, all right.
Let's be Avenue, in the words of Norwich's favourite daughter, Delia Smith.
Right, here we go. So we move to the main event. MJF versus Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship. Two of the bestest buds in the world finally coming together for the biggest night of their careers thus far. It's a tremendously competitive affair. Much like their match on Dynamite that sort of spurred this whole storyline to begin with. False finishes, close calls, you name it. All the emotion is being poured into this title match. Now, there are key moments of vulnerability shining throughout from MJF in this scenario, regardless of telling his best friend in the previous weeks he'll do whatever it takes to retain the title that means more to him than anything else in the world, MJF hesitates in executing certain holds. So if we remember, Adam Cole's arm was injured from the pre-show match. He's a hurty boy. So MJF goes to apply the salt of the earth on Cole's injured arm, rightly knowing that Adam's Achilles heel in this bout. But he looks pained and conflicted executing the move, eventually letting go when his best friend cries of agony, get the better of the champion. Upon letting go of the maneuver, a distracted MJF is blindsided by a cheeky roll-up attempt from Cole, who gets a close two count. Now, this irks MJF, who's growing increasingly more frustrated due to his emotions getting the better of him. He knows he shouldn't let this get in his way. He pushes Cole, who then responds with somewhat of an apology, sort of trying to defuse the situation a little bit before, out of nowhere, he launches towards Max with a super kick. However, MJF sees this coming, ducks out of the way, only for Cole's soul to hit the ref square in the face. Now, the ref is down and out. After everything that's transpired, MJF seemingly brushes off his previous emotions, right? He goes for Cole and looks to lock the salt of the earth in again, but Adam rolls through. He sends MJF crashing into the second turnbuckle. Knowing that Max is at his most dastardly when the ref is down, Cole goes to grab the AEW title, but little does he know that MJF is reaching for the Dynamite Diamond Ring at the same time too. Now, the crowd at this point, they're begging both men not to stoop to this level. They're electric at this point, and this also adds a huge level of confliction into the mix from both parties at this point. Finally, after much hesitation and both men psyching themselves up to pull the trigger, they turn around at the exact same moment. Max sees Adam holding the title. Cole sees MJF with the ring, both knowing what one another's intentions were in this moment. But instead of anger and confusion overwhelming the two, they both smile and laugh at each other. They bond over this moment. They're best mates. My goodness. One in the same. They think alike in unison. They were both willing to do the same thing to ensure the same outcome for themselves. They briefly joke about it before dropping the weapons and embracing one another for a hug. They're best mates after all. My goodness gracious me. Whilst basking in the Wembley crowd, showering the duo in cheers, however, suddenly Mike Bennett, Matt Taven and Roderick Strong surround the ring. Cole looks perplexed, even asking Roddy Strong what he thinks he's doing right now, like what's going on. But at this moment, Max's eyes widen. I told you the plan's off. Didn't you bloody well hear me when I was on the telephone to you?
That was the specialist, though. Oh, no, it was MJF.
That was MJF. Yeah. This is MJF on the phone saying the plans are off.
But he's been contacting the kingdom.
I told you the plan is off. Didn't you hear me? He begins to scream at the men, slowly closing in towards the two in the ring. Clocking on what's happened, Cole turns to MJF with a heartbreaking look of betrayal at this point. MJF pleads with Adam. He tried to call the whole thing off. This was just a precautionary measure, and they didn't listen at this point because they've both been, you know, sort of a little bit of a step. MJF's the devil. You know what I mean? He's the devil man. So after a brief moment of not knowing what Cole's reaction will be, and also building off the crowd's reaction to the sort of them two embracing moments ago, Cole signals to Max, me and you, we can take these guys. MJF is beside himself with joy.
This is a title match.
MJF, they want to do it. Just them two in this scenario. He's down, isn't he?
Oh, right, yeah, you're right.
MJF is beside himself with joy. Better than you, baby. He's stronger than ever. And with the two best friends in the ring daring the three men on the outside to try their luck, Cole turns to face Roddy. MJF turns towards the kingdom. But as Max is facing away, Adam Cole slowly turns with a grin on his face and hits his partner with a low blow, using the supposed injured arm he's been clutching onto this entire time. As he watches his best friend's pained expression wash over MJF's face, he looks up at the three men surrounding the ring and knowingly nods as they instantly swarm the AEW World Champion. Cole picks up the title belt and cracks MJF in the back of the head with it, laying his now former best friend out flat. Roddy hits MJF with a end of heartache backbreaker, and Cole signals for Taven, and Bennett to hoist the champion up. Adam and Roddy look at one another, stare straight down the camera, and utter the words, double clothesline.
Oh, you horrible man.
Hitting MJF with a maneuver and hitting it with such force as well that it further proves that Cole was faking this arm injury the whole entire time. Roddy picks up the now staring ref, throws him towards the action as he counts the pinfall. 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
Adam Cole is your new AEW World Champion as he stands tall, sneering over MJF whilst using the injured arm to hold the title high above his head. The Undisputed Kingdom has arrived.
The Undisputed Kingdom?
Yeah.
The UK. In the UK.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Oh, baby.
Wizards.
I think this is close to what might actually happen.
Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, what an emotional Metal Gear Solid cutscene of a roller coaster that was.
Because there was lots of things at this point. Because I was like, I feel like MJF wouldn't dismiss anything that Cole would do. Basically, because he's the devil and he's been through all this before.
But it's his only friend.
But now, sort of, you know, after the pre-show match where he was like, oh, actually, maybe Cole wasn't putting this on the whole time. He's like, oh, I should call everything off. But secretly, Cole has always been one step ahead manipulating MJF the whole entire way through this thing.
It's a yes from me. I will, one little additional bit is that I'd like to see it be made a little bit more obvious to us that MJF initially was trying to work with the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Because I think that's too much to, in the heat of the moment, to. I'd like for it to be a very obvious, like him sneakily talking to them backstage on Dynamite this week or something.
Yeah.
And then Cole's like, what are you guys doing? And then it's not. And but really.
Yeah.
So it's
really?
A yes. It's a big yes from me.
Thank you.
I had that, not exactly because you put a lot more detail into your pitches than I do, but I had that written down, like the Kingdom coming down and then Britt Baker's there as well.
Oh, Britt.
But I changed it. I rossified mine a bit. I'm going to come up with a new word on the pitches, rossified it by making it a bollocks. So it's a yes from me.
I think it's going to be your third pitch as well.
Basically.
I can't.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's not that good.
How is this going to rossify?
It's like the director's cut.
Because I also wanted to get the Kingdom out of there, because who gives a toss about the Kingdom? Let's be honest.
Well, but now they're the Undisputed Kingdom, you know?
I know, but it's like
build my kingdom.
Trying to force a thing into a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. This is the weakest of my three pitches. It's really, it's not like, I still back it in terms of, I like, it's what I want to happen, but it's quite dry. So I'm worried about. I want to try and make it silly, but I just don't know how to.
Have a bit of water.
Yep.
If it's dry.
You're double parked today. Oh,
there we go. That better?
I know, I've got all
kinds double of stuff parked on the podcast.
Women's World title match. Hikaru Shida obviously defending against Britt Baker, Toni Storm, and Saraya. And I've said, now I could be wrong, but I worry that this is just a setup to give Saraya a big moment in England. Mm-hmm. Toni Storm's recent comments. That they at least have the numbers advantage and stuff. That all seems set for Saraya to actually betray her and win the belt, sending Toni spiraling even further into this mad character that she's doing. And while I think that would be a nice moment, I think I fundamentally disagree with it, just from a sheer booking perspective, long term. It would be quite an unearned title win. You'd end up with a champion who, I went online and looked, she's had 4 singles matches in total in AEW.
Wow.
She's been in like tag matches and four ways and stuff. But elsewhere, Shida feels like a weirdly sudden champion and has had a long reign in the past, as has Britt. Toni is also a former champion, obviously, but I think this new character of hers changes everything. So while I didn't really mind either way about her being champion before, now I really want to see her as this paranoid, unhinged champion, desperate to cling to her spot at the top of the division. So I'm saying that Toni Storm should win, battering Saraya in the process to get her maximum heat in Wembley Stadium. She already made those comments that got people annoyed. Weirdly, do you see that about the NHS or something?
Who did?
What?
No, she didn't say anything bad about the NHS. She just said something in like the Daily Star interviewed her, or some tabloid interviewed her ahead of All In. And she said she was being a heel. She was like, England sucked. I hate it. Ah. And then the comments were like, well, don't come back here and use our NHS. People who maybe don't realize that it's all a story. Then she can go on a crazed title reign. You've got a singles rematch with Saraya. You might even have one with Ruby if she ditches her. You can also have popular underdog baby faces like Sky Blue going up against her. But if I had to choose one person...
Is it going
to
be...
Sorry, I thought you were reacting to Squeak
the
Man. Oh, no, sorry. If I had to choose one person to ultimately win the belt from her, though, it's not going to be as exciting as... It's not like... Oh, who are you going to...
I was going to say Willow Nightingale.
No, I put Jamie Hayter or Mercedes Moné when she's ready again.
Okay, no, yeah, that's
or they
enough.
Can team up and form Money Storm. Money Storm.
Money Storm. And then get Okada in there as well.
But no, Tony Storm should win because I'm realizing that this all seems like just because Jamie Hayter's injured, they're like English person, get them a win. Yeah. And I don't think Saraya's. Nothing against her. I don't think the story's been there for her to win.
No. And looking forward, like, how many matches can she actually wrestle?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason why she's wrestled so little.
Because I remember I enjoyed her first match back against Britt more than people seem to. I remember thinking, she looks pretty decent. Mm. But since then, she's not really been given many featured moments like that.
Yeah, this new Tony Storm character is the best thing she's done as far as I've seen in NXT or WWE or AEW so far. So
Corey character, like coming out with the curlers.
Like Blanche, isn't it?
Yeah. Blanche, I love that. I think it's so good.
Matthew said she's doing some sort of Sunset Boulevard thing, but I've never seen Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, me neither.
No.
Coronation Street.
Phil Mangel? No.
No? The next best thing. Joel's got a fantastic mustache. Like, I can't see the bottom of Joel's beard, but he's got a fantastic mustache.
Yeah, that's good, that.
That's thick. That's
I want to hide mine in shame. Right.
Oh.
Is it a yes or?
Oh, yes.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah, because well, I think guys. Everything that you've sort of just said there, yeah, just like.
Yeah, cause I think that's why it's a four-way, because Saraya can't do much.
Yeah.
Britt Baker's apparently injured, so it'll just be Sheeta and Storm.
Oh, Britt's banged up, yeah.
Banged up, sorry. Yeah. So yeah, I reckon it'll be Sheeta and Baker doing... No, sorry, Sheeta and Storm doing most of the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I also miss Reba. Rebel.
I like Reba.
Me too. Yeah. She was funny.
Hope she's there.
Yeah.
Do the Reba laugh. What was her gimmick?
So Fraser sent me a music video for a country song called Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
She's
yeah.
the dancer in it. She's the main Honky Tonk Badonkadonk woman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You never guess what that's about, Andrew.
Is it about Badonkadonks? Badonkadonk's bottoms.
It's about bums. It's bums.
Isn't it acted all naive?
It's all like...
No, genuinely, I can't tell if Badonkadonks are the blokes.
No, no,
not
it's
the front bum.
It's all like... It's all this bloke going, don't blame her for what her mama gave her. It's all, yeah, shake that honky tonk, Badonkadonk.
My dog died.
No, it's a happy song. It's a happy song about bums. Ross, can we have your take on the MJF Adam Cole situation?
Think about that, Kofi Kingston promo about country music. My dog died.
No,
I run him over
that.
With my tractor. MJF and Adam Cole win the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships on the All In Buy-In 0 Hour Kickoff Show. Throughout the night, which is only, as we're sat here right now, 9 matches. I know it's going to change, but when I wrote this, it was 9 matches, which isn't anywhere near close to being a proper AEW card. So there's time for this sort of bollocks. We see the pair celebrate their victory by frolicking around London, sampling many of the sights and sounds. Exactly, just
how long have they got to do that?
Oh, they've got plenty of time. There's only 9 matches.
Yeah,
14 matches on an AEW card before. Sampling many of the sights and sounds that will only add to their already very impressive back catalogue of japery. They go to Spoons and get the 2 pitches for whatever amounts of pounds deal. They're
ahead
in Madame.
Main event match.
Have a little drink.
To be fair, they're like fair watered down anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, you get so much ice in those.
It's not like we're drinking absinthe.
What would they choose? What pitch
I reckon they go for a woo woo and a. Blue Lagoon.
I thought MJF would go for the Godfather one. It's just amaretto. It's just Dr. Pepper, basically.
Just basically, yeah. Was it amaretto, whiskey, and coke?
Do they put whiskey in it?
That sounds nice. Amaretto and whiskey.
I thought. Yeah. Wow.
It's only a little bit, though, isn't it?
Oh, I guess.
Top all up with coke.
Cool would be like a Blue Lagoon or a strawberry. Yeah, something colourful. Yeah.
Anyway, they go to Madame Two Swords and look at the waxy people. They're on the London Eye. They're swimming in the Thames. There's nothing beyond the realms of possibility in terms of what they get up to in the 4 or 5 promos we see dotted throughout the rest of the night before the main event, because they're really funny, aren't they? These two tossers when they're doing their thing. So more of it. More of it, please. But then the last one, Adam tells his friend Maxwell that Britt Baker, who is his girlfriend, he was excited for him to win his first, with all due respect to the Owen, his first proper title in AEW. I know it's Ring of Honor, but it's in AEW. It's under the umbrella.
Yeah.
It's a proper tangible title that gets defended more than just once a year. And in anticipation, Britt has baked a cake, which they must eat, because as well as being a dentist, Britt is a baker.
Yeah.
The pair head down for their match together.
I'm not a king, I've got to say.
Are you sure?
Yep. Very certain.
You are if you want to be.
Okay, thank you.
All you have to do is believe and live your best life.
I was going to use one of your names as an example, but I don't know what they mean.
I don't know what your name means.
Are you Dutch man? Holland there?
He makes nice shoes.
You've seen prime Amsterdam material. Yeah?
He really wants to go to Amsterdam. You've never been before? Never been. Joel Holland has never been to Amsterdam, everybody. Wow. Anyway, the pair head down for their main event match together because they are bro chachos, and that's what bro chachos do. Adam Cole is looking really smug, and MJF is looking a little bit worse for wear. He's sweating. He looks a little bit dizzy. The pair go in for their hug before the first bell, and Max is like, whoa there, son. This cake is not agreeing with me. I need to go and sit on the netty. Which is Geordie for toilet. I need to go and sit on the toilet. Adam starts to look even smugger, and while hugging his apparent bro Chacho, he says, I told you, son, I'd do anything to win the match, much like Stone Cold said before wrestling The Rock at WrestleMania X7, but keep that shtum, okay? He does the knife stabby thing in the back of MJF once again when they're doing that hug I mentioned just before there, and the crowd realizes what's gone on here. They start booing because Adam had Brit poison the cake and MJF is now sick. Adam Cole is a bastard. The pair go back to their corners, ready to get the match started, and Adam Cole is licking his lips. They lock up, and MJF has the body composition of a flump. There's nothing he can do. For the next few minutes, it's a slow beatdown from the now freshly heel Adam Cole as MJF drops to the deck and he flops like a fish. But then, shoot roll up, kick out at two, and a smirking MJF points at the screen. Footage is shown of MJF putting the cake in his mouth, but not swallowing. The crowd. Got it! He did eat the cake!
Him going like...
Yeah, exactly. Wah! MJF starts posing like Hogan or something like that, and the pair go on to have a 5-star classic. It's a bloody roller coaster, let me tell you. The ending of the match occurs when I've written down because I wasn't sold on the Kingdom part.
Yeah.
The duo of Britt Baker and Roddy Strong get involved and help Cole to win. A new evil power couple and their third wheel is born. MJF continues on his babyface ride for the foreseeable, chasing Adam Cole for a rematch for the title. And any thought of this glorified house show / pre-show for All Out is forgotten about because there's been a lot of that, hasn't there?
Yeah.
This is just a house show. All these tag team matches.
It's with the knowledge that your initial pitch was very similar to Andrew's, I've got to give you a thumbs up just for the improvisation there to turn around.
I just didn't want the Kingdom involved.
That was incredible.
Cake involved instead.
Which I think a lot of people will prefer, to be honest. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, the cake?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah,
the cake involved.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I think that was really good.
I'd like Kip Sabian to somehow be involved.
Oh, he's in the cake.
He's the poison master.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that match, that he had against Pac? Mm-hmm. Where Pac won, but was a bit... disconcerted.
Like, yeah. Oh, because he was talking to his bag and that, wasn't
it? No, it's because Kip Sabian had dusted himself in poison. And the pack was resting him and getting... So during this match, I went, has he poisoned him? And everyone laughed at me.
There's a chance he did.
He could have done. It's never been...
Well, they just misremembered it. I said the word forgot, and it sounded like I'd gone flipping it.
Yeah, it did.
They just didn't do anything else with Kip Sabian after that.
Sad.
What was the... Andrew?
Yeah.
So it's two yeses.
It's two yeses.
Yeah.
I think that was a wonderful way, completely different from
You know, Ben Foster this week, he's like, when you feel like your body can't do what it used to do. That's what I feel like on the pitches at the minute.
But
I'm in a rut.
It's because we're thinking about these next 2 weeks where we've got three of these videos to film in 2 weeks. I am cacking myself.
Yes, same.
Not gonna lie. Right. Are we ready for the last one?
Yeah. And then my last one.
And then your last one.
Oh, it's fun.
I'm excited. This one's a fun one as
well.
Oh! Well, it's not booked yet, so let's bloody book it, everybody. Here we go.
Oh, every bloody day I've heard this.
Hey, let's book it, everybody. Let's go. 0-hour pre-show. I love this 0-hour pre-show this week. After the tag team match and unbeknownst to anyone, even commentary, out storms Jeff Jarrett, Sonjay Dutt, Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh. Jara is livid. How can he and the Lethal Connection be left off this historical show given his importance to the wrestling business as a whole? He literally stared death in the eye by fighting off Leatherface last week. And for what? For what? What does Jeff Jarrett get in return? He gets teamed up with some bloody UK indie wannabe who never made it in the big leagues, singing the praises of this damn company, and still he gets nothing in return. Well, Tony Khan, I'm hijacking this son of a bee until I rightfully get my moment. Bring me the best this godforsaken floating rock has to offer. Oh, wow. He's mad.
Pack's coming out.
He's mad. Suddenly, actually, now that I said that, I don't make it. Right, it's fine. Oh. No. Suddenly, the camera cuts into a backstage hallway. Security enter the shot through a doorway that's just off to the side, and we see a figure behind them, towel covering their head.
Taz!
And the music begins to swell.
Minoru Suzuki!
It's the familiar...
It's Hook!
Sounding marching drums.
Noel Edmonds.
Yeah.
No. The familiar sounding marching drums of perhaps an ex-WCW champion.
No, it's not. We know who it is. Don't you try and trick us.
It's the familiar sounding marching drums, and they play a security walk with the figure who is obscured and slightly trailing behind.
No one's going to mistake
the arena
these
corridors.
Two people for
Surely not. Surely not. Both the onlookers and Jeff Jarrett are thinking in this moment, no, Tony Khan didn't secure one of the biggest free agents on the market right now and put them on the bloody pre-show, did they? As the cameras follow the mysterious wrestler backstage, the music perfectly stops just as they reach the entranceway. The security guards part, and there the figure stands. Jarrett can't figure out what's happening. As he can see from the Tron, that's not necessarily the build of one William Billiam Goldberg.
Why is it not?
Who could it be? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. The figure
Life's
grabs the
a mystery,
towel.
You might say.
Well, there you go. The figure grabs the towel on their head, slowly peels it away, and in the final moments, they rip it off like a plaster, as Like a Prayer blasts throughout Wembley.
What?
Grado is here.
Oh
who would have thunk it, everybody?
I don't know,
Grado is here. The crowd go bananas. Grado soaking up the atmosphere on the way to the ring as we chant this wonderful young man's name. Oh, the fun we are having. He gets in the ring and is immediately cracked in the head by a guitar from Jeff Jarrett, and then he's beaten up by the Lethal Connection.
Don't do that.
Jarrett is seething even more at this point. This crowd will chant Grado's name, but not his, not Jeff Jarrett. As Sonjay, Lethal, and Satnam hold up Grado, Jarrett starts slapping him and grabbing his face. This is my moment. They should be chanting my name. Say it. Say my name. Say his name, and
my God.
He appears.
Yeah.
I believe in Joe Hendry. Because we're going to London and Paris
and Tokyo,
America, Scotland,
and Canada,
and Mexico.
There you go.
I believe it's Impact Superstar Joe Hendry, everybody. He's
digital
here,
media champion, right? Or is he still the digital?
Not anymore, I don't think.
Damn it.
Hendry comes out to fight off the Lethal Connection, leaving just Jarrett alone in the ring, begging for his life. And at this point, Grado's recovered from his guitar shot. He gets up, does his, the wee boot. And Jarrett sells it like a champ, and we're all happy. Let's celebrate magical finish.
Yeah. I'd say obviously it's a yes, but I just really want this match to actually happen. And the closer we get, the less likely it seems.
Oh, it's not going to happen. Is it?
Imagine the response Grado would get.
If Like a Prayer was there.
And I don't even, if it was actually going to happen, I wouldn't even put it on the pre-show. I'd have it on the main show.
Would you?
Yeah.
No.
What?
Nobody outside of England knows who Grado is.
I agree with Ross on this one, but
I remember the first time I saw Enzo and Cass and was aware of who they were was there was a footage of the dark match from TakeOver Brooklyn 1 and they came out and it's in New York, so everyone's just going mad for them. And I was like, who are these boys? That's what people would do with Grado.
Yeah, but they'd be dead into it though, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Like a Prayer's playing.
Oh, well, the pre-show, I used to be in the car park drinking.
Yeah.
Main show. Get on the main show. But it's a yes from me.
Thank you.
I'll give it a yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
As long as it's contained into 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's very quick. It's fast.
My third, Ross, when you were away recently, I did a summertime battle royal for SummerSlam in the spirit of my old Rumble one where I did the random Wikipedia.
The trees and that.
This wasn't random. The summertime one was everybody who has thrived in the summertime. It's time for the 20-person big London-themed Battle Royal, which you guys can pick the winner of. Or as Fraser called it, London Brawling.
Ah, it's quite good.
I thought that was going to be a bigger response than that. Ah.
It's just that it came from Fraser, you know, the tone he would have used when said
it. Were you in the room? No, right.
Jack, wait. You'll have to call this. London Brawling.
It was one of his quicker ones. So I mentioned it, he just went, London Brawling.
Oh, you can see it now.
No, full credit to Fraser. It's a wonderful name.
Well done.
And the Clash are a great band. Mm. And, you know. Entry number one, David Beckham.
Yeah,
he's from Peckham.
You seemed a bit, because he's a Manchester United, typically.
Not really associated with, apart from his birth, is
he? But he's he was in Only Fools and Horses.
I guess so, yeah.
Are you putting your pound?
Oh, damn it, I've not put any of them in. Oh.
No, you didn't put Delvoy in.
Number two is Queen Elizabeth II. Number three is Queen Elizabeth I. Widely regarded as one of our greatest ever monarchs, she beat the Spanish Armada. Go on, Liz.
On her own.
She would win then, yeah.
She did beat them on her own.
She's the favourite so far.
Number four, well, hold your horses. Number four, it's her dad, King Henry VIII, one of the most famous kings in history, six wives and all that. What's he like? Also a big guy. Who on earth is going to eliminate Henry VIII? Also, apparently, in his youth, he was a fantastic athlete.
Bollocks.
Was really no. Apparently, Henry VIII, apparently, sick at all the jousting competitions and that when he was a youth.
They let him win.
Maybe, yeah. You'd have had them chopped, yeah.
Beheaded.
Five, I got Ray Winston.
Bet 365.
Originally,
I'll give you odds of 7-2 for Queen Elizabeth to win.
For himself to win was going to be that's his entrance. That's his like Tron. Like he gives himself odds of. That was Jack Atkins' idea.
Yeah. Nice.
Upstairs, they made me put him in because they said who's more cockney than Ray Winston, which is fair enough. So I had to take out the character from Green Street who can't do a cockney accent. I was going to have him. Yeah, the Geordie.
Yeah, the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
I do know him.
Yeah. He does he's in a film called Green Street, which is basically Frodo joining the West Ham football hooligan firm.
He does a good American accent.
He can't do a cockney one.
Oh, if a West Ham. It's not even that good. It's worse than that.
You're a journo.
Yeah, they're all like, Frodo plays whatever Frodo's actor's name is. He plays a journalist.
Elijah Wood.
Elijah Burke.
That's the Pope. That's the Pope.
They teach him Elijah
Burke. ECW's or TNA's the Pope.
What am I thinking? I'm thinking of Alexandra Burke. You know,
the bad
from
boys,
X-Factor or whatever.
The bad boys. Yeah.
What's going on?
Number six is King Lud, a pre-Roman king who many think founded London and gave it its name, although this has been contested by some.
Uh-huh. Never heard of him.
Number seven... Man says better than me. Tell my man, shut up. It's Stormzy. Yeah. Here he comes. Number eight, in my opinion, the most unfairly mistreated man in England currently, Gareth Southgate. Sir Gareth Southgate. you're not a big...
I don't think any other manager would have been more proactive in those tournaments than we were.
He's the most successful manager we've had since Alf Ramsey. But number nine is Grant Mitchell from EastEnders. Oh,
which bald is that?
That's Ross Kemp.
Ross Kemp, right.
Number 10, Phil Mitchell. Yes, it's his brother.
Hey. Phil's them all.
Oh, God, again, Phil.
Reckless one, isn't he?
I don't know. I'm not
I
a big
don't
EastEnders.
Watch EastEnders, do you watch EastEnders? EastEnders?
Nah.
Damn it! We're all too bloody northern,
would
aren't
they
we?
Coexist? Would they be like
sometimes,
the Basham brothers?
Sometimes they don't like each other.
It's like Undertaker and Kane, basically.
Yeah.
But I've seen a scene where their mum's getting threatened,
and they're like, "Oh!"
And the car pulls up. It's like, "Who's in the car?" And it's like the little Mitchell brothers, Billy.
Yes.
He comes out. He's like, "Get off my mum!" And then he's like, "You and who's army?" And then the Mitchell brothers get out. But Phil gets out first, and then Grant's the big pop. He gets out second. So is Grant the more? He's definitely...
Maybe it's because he's been away for a bit, you know what I mean?
Maybe they're shocked he's still alive.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, that
TV program he did.
Yeah.
Grant's...
I had to get out of there quick.
Grant's bigger, but Phil's... Stockier. He's like the hard drinking one, isn't he? He's like. 11's Michael Caine.
Yeah. Ooh.
She was only 15.
He killed a lot of people in that
Master
film.
By. Which film?
Harry Brown.
Harry Brown? I've never seen it.
He starred the film that was filmed here.
Really?
Get Carter, yeah.
Oh.
On the high level bridge and that.
Number 12, it's Danny Dyer.
He's a big softie.
He's the first one out of him.
Danny Dyer.
Typecast, isn't he?
Yeah.
All meth, no trousers.
Number 13, this is a 20-man tournament. Battle Royale, by the way. Number 13 is Big Ben, which is the bell. Not the tower.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous.
The bell's still hard to get out.
But then I looked at a picture of the bell and it's massive. Yeah. It's a huge bell. That sounds silly. The building's called the Elizabeth Tower, and it was renamed after the Queen in about 2013 or so. Number 14, it's the Hitcher from the Mighty Boosh. Have you seen the Mighty Boosh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, the Hitcher, you slay. Mm. Number 15, it's Charles Dickens' character, Oliver Twist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Who will buy? He's straight, gone straight away.
Please, have... sir, don't eliminate me.
Yeah. Number 16, because it's Oliver, it's the Artful Dodger. One sec, 16 and 17, it's actually not that Artful Dodger. It's UK garage duo Mark Hill and Pete Devereaux, Artful Dodger, who produced songs such as Rewind, featuring Craig David. And also, you know the song, Ooh, You're Moving Too Fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. They're actually from Southampton. But
what are they here for?
Yeah, but I had to chuck them in anyway because it's, you know, maybe Craig will get involved, but he's also, I think, from Southampton.
He is from Southampton. With his piss bag.
Number 18. With his what?
His piss bag, little bird.
Kez.
Come
on, Kez. Why did he make him from Leeds?
Come on, Granny, let's go for a piss.
My name's Craig David from Leeds. Number 18. Is Tom Campbell's viral TikTok cab driver character.
Yes.
With the entire Battle Royale gangs at
me. I've seen you on Twitter 7 million times this weekend.
I think he needs to do... No, he needs to drag... He's done three now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to do more.
Oh, he's done three parts?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's retweeted 7 million times.
And that's, number 19. I keep thinking I'm just seeing the first one over and over again.
Number 19 is David Attenborough.
Ooh. Oh.
Oh, Al Pacino there, is he?
Imagine Dave Attenborough on commentary for wrestling.
Oh, yeah, he can do the Lawler thing. He can get out the ring and, yeah.
There we see.
Number 20 is Dappy from Endo. It's Dappy from Endo.
Wow.
Nye.
I changed my pick for first out. It's Dappy. Who likes Dappy?
Sorry, have we got any potential?
I'm going for Bell.
The Bell, Big Ben.
Aye.
I'm going for Queen Elizabeth, the older one.
First.
Because she went...
The Spanish Armada.
There we go. Still no chance.
Cast your vote in the comments section down below. That was the final
tremendous
pitch.
I enjoy those so
I'm going to try not to do any more of those until the next Royal Rumble. But, yeah.
It's a shame.
Well, who's going to possibly dethrone trees in Chinese mythology? You never know. Thanks for watching, everyone.
Queen Elizabeth first, that's
yeah.
Who.
We're all excited for All In. A lot of us are going down. And you'll get, I can't catch my breath. It's just too excited. You'll find all the content. Are predictions happening?
Predictions are happening, but they will be obviously between Team AEW. So Tom and Fraser, they should be coming to the channel tomorrow.
They'll be doing predictions. I assume they're also doing live streamed reactions.
They sure are, yeah. YouTube.com/live/cultaholic/live Yep.
YouTube.com/cultaholic/live Oh, you're doing WTF
Monday? Yeah, I'll be on Tuesday because I'll be travelling back. Yeah. No fun Monday. On a bank holiday. You can believe it.
I'm going down with a crew who we're going to be trying our best to make any sort of content we can, although it's proven quite hard to get press access for anywhere. Hopefully, we'll manage to get something. We'll also be shooting content, sort of stuff with fans, if you're about. If you see us, come along. If you see me with a mic, don't be afraid to jump in and don't say anything that's going to get us chucked off YouTube.
What?
Wait a minute.
Way now. Go on.
And have a nice conversation with me about the wrestling.
That's what I did.
I think we'll be around the places. We'll be around that pre-show thing in the box park in Wembley and stuff. Just milling about Wembley, basically.
You sound good. So sad about it?
Yeah.
No.
We'll be around that box park.
No. I'm not certain exactly what it's called, the event, but it's the box park in Wembley.
It'd be fun.
I'm just stressed because, like, the press access has been a bit of
You got a lot going on that weekend.
No, trying to get more stuff.
All right,
stuff
we need more stuff that weekend.
We need
please.
Help. Come on, get involved with our videos and that. I hope everyone's having a great... Hope everyone has a great weekend.
Yeah, it should be good. Bloody hell, enjoy yourselves. If you're anymore. Going down, enjoy yourselves.
Yes.
Or if you're staying in London, still enjoy
yourselves. The reason I'm distracted is because I'm trying to think of... Because I ended the last one. I've got it. I ended it on a catchphrase that we'd never done before.
Right.
And I said it. And then Andrew went, hang on. Right. That should be every...
It's pretty good.
Well, lay it on thick, baby. I'm
ready. Well, Ross, Andrew, Joel, thank you all. Thank you for watching. Leave your pitches in the comments down below. And remember, life's a pitch and then you die.
Yeah.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.